the preacher, and he began to read this book of the law to the people, so that they likewise would be affected the way he had been affected. For God had read it to him, and he had prayed, you may be sure, that God would likewise read it to the hearts of the people of the land. This King Josiah, he was a God-fearing man, and he loved the Lord and showed it in every way of his actions while he was king. After this, he likewise called the people together to hold the Passover unto the Lord. There had been no Passover like this held since the days of the judges, the Bible says. There had been no king like Josiah likewise that had turned so with his whole heart, with his whole mind, and with his whole strength unto the Lord and unto the law of the Lord, according as Moses had given it. He then assembled the people together at Jerusalem to hold this Passover. They came from all parts of the land, and when they came, he likewise gave unto the people somewheres in the neighborhood of 30,000 likewise lambs and so many kids and so many oxen of his own flock. This the king gave to the people so that they would have something to sacrifice unto God. Likewise, the priest and the Levites, they contributed too for this Passover. They gave to the people 5,000 small cattle and 300 yoke of oxen. These people then, they were united together to commemorate what God had done for them back in the land of Egypt. They held this Passover on the 14th day of the month, and it lasted 7 days. It was a Passover that was never to be forgotten by these people. Most of them only did it in form, but you may be sure that Josiah, he did it with his whole heart. There may have been those true Israelites that likewise with him did it by faith. But the people of the land, they were more or less just formalist, and they had no heart like Josiah had for the Lord and for his service. This man, Josiah, then, he is a type of every child of God who likewise is given by the word of God to be struck down, as this man Josiah was. When he read and heard the law, his heart was broken, he rent his clothes, and he humbled himself greatly before the Lord. I could wish that God would do this to every one of you that are listening to me, that he would read the law to your hearts, and that your hearts may be humbled and broken. If this has taken place in your life, then you have been given to do what Josiah did. He likewise forsook all his sins. He likewise broke down all the idols and all the altars that were erected in the land, whereby the people were committing idolatry. So if you have in your past life been given by the grace of God to return to God, you have been given likewise to destroy all the idols that you have in your home, and you have been given to offer up yourself unto the service of the Lord. Oh, what a mercy this is when this takes place in our life. This Josiah then, he did good unto Israel. It was about 13 years later, after he had been king for a long time, 31 years, there came up the king of Egypt to fight against the king of Assyria. He is called Pharaoh Necho. He came with a great army out of the land of Egypt and entered into the land of Israel. This king then was going to war. And Josiah, and he was the king over all the land of Israel and over Judah likewise. The king of Assyria had given this grant unto Josiah to reign over this part of the country which had no king at that time. And therefore we find Josiah was in alliance with this king of Assyria. And when this king of Egypt came into his land, he was marching through it already, he sent an ambassage to Josiah and said, "So speaketh the king of Egypt, come not out to intermeddle with me, for God has said unto me, make haste, lest ye meddle with God and ye be destroyed." This, according to the Bible, was spoken by this king, Pharaoh Necho, who, according to this word, was the mouth of God unto Josiah. Now this Josiah, being king over the land and being in alliance to the king of Assyria, he is condemned by many commentators for making an unjust war against this Pharaoh, this Necho that came into his country. Most of the commentators condemn him for this, but the Bible doesn't condemn him. Any king that rules over a country has the perfect right to stop an invading army to go through his own country. There's nothing unjust about Josiah rising up against this king to stop him from going through his country. Now, he was spoken to by this king that God had said unto him, make haste, and that he should not intermeddle with Pharaoh because God was with him, lest he would be destroyed. This man, Josiah, instead of going to God and asking counsel at God's mouth whether he should go up and fight against him or not, this is his great fault, he did not. He assembled his army together, and he disguised himself, and he went up to fight against the king of Egypt. And now, Josephus says that he was riding in his chariot, going from one wing of his army to the other wing to get them in array to make this battle. And while he was going in his chariot, an Egyptian took a bow and arrow and shot him and mortally wounded him. And he felt that he was mortally wounded too, for he said unto his servants, "Take me out of the chariot and put me in another chariot and take me away." So these servants, they did. They put him in another chariot and they took him away and carried him back to Jerusalem. In all probabilities, he died on the way back. Then they brought him back to the city of Jerusalem. This Josiah then, he was taken away when he was 39 years of age. He had reigned from when he was 8 years old, which was a period of 31 years. He was taken away before the evil that God had spoken by the mouth of one of his prophets would come down upon the people of the land. He had been promised by God himself that he would die in peace and that he would be buried in peace. We would think, well, he didn't die in peace. He died in the battle. My friends, no matter where we may die, if we have found peace with God, if we have the love and the favor of God in our souls, It doesn't make where we die. For then we die in peace to God. And this is the way Josiah died. He did not lose the grace or the favor or the love of God, but he was taken away before the evil would be brought upon the land. Now the righteous is taken away, Isaiah says, before the day of evil. And so he was taken away, and he was given to rest in peace. Now this Josiah, he was a wonderful king to the people of the land. And when he died, he was given a magnificent bureau, one as no other king had had. All the people in the land and all the people in Jerusalem, they mourned the loss of this king. For he had done good in his life, and he had done good unto the people and to the land. And we read that even Jeremiah the prophet, who was living at this time, lamented the loss of this pious king, Josiah. And they made up songs concerning this king, which they commanded the people to sing at various times in memoriam of him. The Jews were wonderful in making such songs up at different times, especially if they had had a victory, they would make a military song, a song of triumph. If somebody got married, they had a song to sing at the marriage. And likewise, if somebody passed away, they had songs to sing when they were being buried. So with this, they made songs, the singing men and the singing women, and Jeremiah himself likewise lamented the loss of this man, Josiah. And these songs, according to this chapter, can be found in the Lamentations. Not in the Lamentations that Jeremiah wrote, because they were written at an altogether different time. But the songs, the Lamentations that Jeremiah made concerning the loss of this king, have not been given down to us. The Spirit of God has not found it proper, probably, to have them written and to have them in the Bible. They then mourned the loss of this godly king. This teaches us, my hearers, that we likewise must die. This man, Josiah, died and died in peace. And he went to be with God forever and ever. It is a time coming that we also must die. Many of you listening to me have been given in this lifetime to lose some of your relatives. Some have lost their wife, their husband. Some have lost their parents. Some have lost brothers and sisters. And we likewise have grieved. We have mourned the loss of them. And many of them, in all possibility, have likewise died in peace like Josiah, some of them did. And while they were alive, we did not value them too much. But once they were taken away, then we realized the good things that they brought before us and what they meant by what they wanted us to do. But they're gone. It's usually the case that when someone passes away, then we take notice of the good of such. Not till then. So it was here with Josiah. They realized the loss of this king. Oh, my hearers, we likewise will, in due time, experience, whether we're alive or whether we are dead, a day coming, which will be a day of judgment. Before this notable day of the Lord doth come, Oh, I would entreat every one of you to seek the Lord while he yet is to be found. Seek to have that portion that Josiah had in his soul. This only will bring you safely into the arms of God forever and ever. This is so necessary, my hearers, where we know not the hour or the moment of our death. Oh, God is a merciful God. He has no delight in your or my death. He says so in his word, and he says unto us, seek ye the Lord while he may yet be found. Call ye upon him while he is yet near. Oh, there's such a blessedness in seeking the Lord in truth and in uprightness. And now the Lord, he is so gracious and so merciful. He says, let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord and to our God, who abundantly pardoneth. Oh, he entreats us to seek him yet, to call upon him. Oh, could I be his mouthpiece to you, my hearers, encouraging you to seek him. For there is no loss in seeking him. All that you would be given to do as he himself says, and as I just brought before you, unless you may have thoughts in your minds which run in this channel, well, I'm not an elect vessel of mercy. God hasn't chosen me. Why should I go to the trouble of seeking him? But what does he say? My thoughts are not your thoughts. His thoughts may be entirely different concerning you, and his ways are not your ways. Oh, may you be given to persevere at his throne of grace. May you be given to find what Josiah found, grace in the sight of the Lord. He was only 16 years of age when he began to seek God. And oh, we can't begin too early. And irrespective of how old we may be, even if we may be on the verge of eternity, age has nothing to do with God's grace and God's mercy. He is rich in mercy to all that call upon him, that call upon him in truth. And if you can't call upon him in truth, tell him so. Ask him to give you to do so. This is a gift of his. Persevere at his feet. And who knows what he may do in his love and in his grace and in his mercy to your immortal soul. Josiah then was buried, and he was lamented for a long time. This king then was taken away, as I said, before the evil came. God had pronounced that his judgments would come down upon these wicked people, for they did not repent, they did not return back to God, even though they had this king amongst them, entreating them to do so. And even though they had prophets sent by God and who spoke in his name, they did not listen to the prophets. They did not listen to the voice of God in them, but they went on in their sins and in their wickedness. And therefore, God was going to bring down his judgments upon them. My hearers, do not do so like these Israelites. His judgments are going to come down upon your immortal souls. Who knows how soon? If a land goes on sinning like Israel did, then God brings his national judgments upon them. And all of you look at our land, the land in which we are living in, all the sins that we are guilty of, my hearers, isn't it a wonder to you that God hasn't brought his judgments down upon us? It's of the Lord's long suffering yet. He sent many a man unto Israel of old, and he sends also some of his servants unto us entreating us to return unto him. Ah, may you all be given to do so. This man, Josiah, he had several sons, and now these people, they hated the Egyptians because they had killed their king. And now there was a son by the name of Jehoahaz. These people made this son king. He was not the oldest son, but he was of a more warlike disposition, more active, and they put their trust in him, thinking that he would avenge the death of his father upon the Egyptians. The people done this. And now this Jehoahaz, he had had a God-fearing father. He had been instructed and educated in the true religion. He had had many a prayer sent up to God in heaven for him. But the Bible says he did evil in the sight of the Lord. You may have had godly parents. They may have instructed you. They may have even prayed with you. They have maybe entreated God. But parents cannot give their children godliness, cannot give them grace. Everyone is born in sin. It's the native instinct of us to sin against God. This is what we are all prone to do. We cannot overcome sin. It is only regeneration that likely will subdue sin to a certain extent in us. This son, he was a wicked son. He had probably done much evil even while his father was still alive. And now when the people made him king, he continued on doing evil. He was only king 3 months. He wasn't very long on the throne. The commentary says in those 3 months, he began to build up all the altars and all the idols that his father Josiah had broken down. And now this king of Egypt, he became angry with the people of the land. And he came and he took this Jehoahaz, who the people had made king, he took him prisoner. He bound him in fetters, brought him to Riblah and to the land of Hamath, and carried him away into the land of Egypt. He was then made a prisoner of war, and he died very shortly in the land of Egypt, very young in life, but taken away under the wrath of God, dying in his sins. Oh, my hearers, what an awful eternity awaits those who go on in their wickedness. How many of us, we have had some friends, we have had some relatives, we have had parents, we have had children, brothers and sisters, taken away. And we have seen no signs of repentance in their life. For these things we have not seen. And all my hearers, to die and to fall into the hands of an angry God, I cannot describe to you what that will be. I wish God would bring it home to you who are still going on in your wickedness and in your sins. Oh, that God would arise over your immortal souls. Now this young man was taken away. And now this king, he came into the land, and he took another son of Josiah, who was 25 years of age. His name was Eliakim, but he changed his name unto Jehoiakim, and he made him king in the place of his brother. This had never happened yet in the land of Judah and Jerusalem that the kingship descended from one brother to another. It had happened in the land of Israel under the reign of Ahab, but it never took place yet in the land of Judah and Jerusalem. Well, this Jehoahaz had only reigned about 3 months, and it wasn't even worthy that he should even be mentioned. But this king took the eldest son, 25 years of age, and he made him king. And he put a penalty upon the land. Because they had made this Jehoahaz king, he came and he fined this country. And he made them pay 100 talents of silver and 1 talent of gold. Of this they had to pay unto this king of Egypt. Of this king then, Jehoiakim, he consented to do this. Now this made him and his country very poor. For he had to tax everybody in the land to get this money to pay it to the king of Egypt. He had to squeeze it out of the people so that this king of Egypt would be satisfied with what he had demanded of him. And now this Jehoiakim, he was reigning, and we find that the king of Egypt, he had dominion over Israel and Judah and various territories round about. But now we come to the 24th chapter, and we find that in his days, Nebuchadnezzar came up against him. And Nebuchadnezzar, we would have never heard of him in the Bible, had he no connection with the taking away of the Jewish people into Babylon by captivity. He was a great king. His name goes down in history as a potent king. And through him taking Israel away, we find his name in the Bible. His father, he had made war against the king of Egypt, and he had been defeated by the king of Egypt. But now he took his son, Nebuchadnezzar. From the dates, we appear to believe that he took his son and made him king 3 years before he himself passed away. And therefore, this Nebuchadnezzar, he went forth to continue the war against Egypt. And he obtained a great victory over the Egyptians. And then he set himself to fight against Jehoiakim in the city of Jerusalem. And when he came up to Jerusalem to fight against him, why, he took him prisoner. He bound him in fetters, and he was going to take him away to Babylon. But this king Jehoiakim, he fell before this Nebuchadnezzar, and Nebuchadnezzar, he released him on the promise that he would be faithful to him. This Jehoiakim promised that he would serve this Nebuchadnezzar. But we find that he rebelled against him after 3 years. And then we read, the Lord sent up bands of the Chaldeans and of the Ammonites and of the Moabites and of the Syrians against Israel and Judah to destroy them. The Lord done this. These bands, they were being paid by the king Nebuchadnezzar. They were under his rule and under his reign. They had fell to him, and he was paying their wages. The Bible doesn't say so, but the commentary says that they were used by Nebuchadnezzar. But it was God that was behind this. God uses sometimes enemies and people who do not know even that they are fulfilling the purposes and the promises and the threatenings of God. So it was with these. They came up against Judah, and they fought against it. And we find that this Jehoiakim, who was king at this time, he had all these enemies against him. And he had done so much wickedness and so much evil. The commentary, Henry, he says, when he seen that his land was being invaded and that the people were being taken prisoners, then he died of a broken heart. Whether this is true or not, I can't say. But we have various statements made by different commentaries. But we read in the 22nd book of Jeremiah, the 17th verse, that he prophesied of this king, that he would be carried out of Jerusalem and that he would be buried with an ass's burial. This meant that he would not be buried in the ground. He would be just slung in a place and that he would lay there. This was prophesied by Jeremiah concerning this king Jehoiakim, because he had not been faithful to Nebuchadnezzar. And God likewise brought down his judgments upon these people. At this time, this king Nebuchadnezzar, he carried away many of the smiths, many of the great people of the land. This is the first epoch of the 70th year of captivity that Israel entered into. He took away a goodly number of the rich people. He took away all the gold and silver that he could lay his hands on in the treasury. And at this time, according to the commentary, he carried away captive Daniel and his three friends. But they were likewise made prisoners and taken to the land of Babylon. This king Nebuchadnezzar then, he, according to one commentary, took this king Jehoiakim back to Babylon. And he was slain there, and he treated his body very disgracefully. This is what another commentary says of this king. We can't go by what the commentary says. We have to abide by what the Word of God says. The Word of God doesn't say that he was buried. It just says that he died. And now Jeremiah was a prophet of God, and he prophesied that he would be cast out. And this is what possibly took place with him. Where, when, how, we do not know. They are all guessing at what happened to this king. But he was not buried like the other kings were. And then we find that this king, he had a son by the name of Jehoiachin, and he became king in his father's place. This Jehoiachin, he likewise seen that being king, he was entering into a state where it was useless to be king. And when he seen what was being done to the people of the land, then he himself fell away to the king Nebuchadnezzar. He gave himself over unto him. Him and his mother and several of his servants, they went out to the king Nebuchadnezzar and they became his servants. And he took them prisoner and brought them back to Babylon. This king he did not slay. So we find that now the king Nebuchadnezzar, he sets a king over the land. And this king likewise reigned 11 years. There were 22 years between the death of Josiah and the captivity of the children of Israel. And now they had then a king, and this king, he changed his name likewise to Zedekiah. This then was the last king to reign over Judah and Israel. This king Zedekiah, he likewise did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord. And in his days, he likewise had promised with an oath before God that he would be faithful to Nebuchadnezzar. But he broke this oath likewise. He did not abide by the promise that he made. And therefore, Nebuchadnezzar came up against him. And this happened in the 9th year of his reign. Then he came up with his army and surrounded Jerusalem. This siege of Jerusalem lasted 2 years. All the while, Nebuchadnezzar had an army around about Jerusalem. And the Jews inside of the city had their men of war upon their walls fighting against Nebuchadnezzar. Josephus says, at that time, Nebuchadnezzar, he raised up great banks against the city of Jerusalem. Of these banks were great heights of earth upon which he set his machines of war, upon which he set his men. They were even higher than the walls of Jerusalem. And in this way, he conducted war against the Jews, fighting against them. Now, the Jews then were surrounded, but many of the men of war, they were of good morale and good spirits, and they thought that this army never could get into their city, and that the longer they held out, the surer they would be to retreat. But this was not the case. It was God that was fighting against these people. It was God that said he would destroy the city of Jerusalem by the mouth of his prophets. And he had said even the heathens would say, why has God done this to this city? And therefore, 2 years it took before Nebuchadnezzar entered with his army completely into Jerusalem to ruin it, to ransack it, to destroy it. Oh, what an awful thing this must have been for the people of the land who were in the city. Oh, it got so bad, the Bible says, that there wasn't any bread anymore to eat. They couldn't hold out any longer. Terrible things were taking place in the city of Jerusalem. And God had said that he would likewise destroy even the temple that Solomon had built, and that all the people would be taken away captive. And this happened in the 11th year of Zedekiah, in the fourth month, the ninth day of the month. Then the city was broken up, and then this army invaded the city of Jerusalem. And they took most of the people captive. They carried them away to Babylon. When this day arrived, we find that Zedekiah the king, he and his men of war, they fled through a gate in the king's garden, and they fled at night expecting to escape, but the Chaldeans, they seen them going, and they pursued after them, and they took hold of this king, because all his men of war fled from him, and he was left alone with his wife and with his children. He was then taken prisoner and brought up before the king Nebuchadnezzar. And King Nebuchadnezzar gave judgment against him because he had not been faithful to the promise that he had made before God and towards him. And he slew Zedekiah's children before his eyes. Oh, what an awful thing this must have been. All these tyrants, these kings in those days, they had such power, and they were so cruel and so mean. They just killed his children right in the front of his eyes, and he couldn't do anything about it. You can imagine, even though he was a wicked man, he still had a heart like you and I have for our children. And then, instead of killing him, they put his eyes out. They poked both of his eyes out and made him blind. How mean, how cruel are the things that we read of in the Bible in the times of the kings. And he was taken away in fetters, in bands, and brought to the land of Babylon. And there he remained to the day of his death. Now this concludes the lesson for this day. The Lord be with us till the following Lord's Day, when we hope to take up the rest of the story of the destruction of Jerusalem and the prophecies of Jeremiah concerning it. That's all.